It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right, good afternoon. Scott Luton here with you again live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show once again, especially if you tuned in on our earlier session today. Today we're broadcasting once again not only from the Metro Atlanta area, but from the headquarters of the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, the GMA. Today's show is once again the latest installment of one of our newest series that we call Today in Manufacturing. Imagine that. You can check out the show page at todayinmanufacturing.com to get all the latest information, replays, part of the Supply Chain Now Radio family of programs. And we're pleased to be partnering with the GMA to make this series happen. And, of course, we love spotlighting some of the great stuff happening in one of the key segments of the end-to-end supply chain, which is the manufacturing industry. Today, we're also excited to be partnering with our newest sponsors, IntelliTrans, on this series as well. We had a great show earlier today with Ken Sherman with IntelliTrans, and we welcome not only their sponsorship, but their collaboration as we always look to seek out leaders within the world of supply chain that are making it easier to address problems, to provide visibility, share best practices, thought leadership, you name it, all for our listeners. So big thanks to the great folks over at IntelliTrans, and you can learn more about them at IntelliTrans.com, and that's IntelliTrans, TRANS. To our listeners, friendly reminder, you can find our Supply Chain Now Radio replays on a variety of channels: iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and of course our premier distribution partners at Business Radio X. As always, we'd love to have you subscribe, so just like Jason Moss, you don't miss anything.
Exactly.
So let's say hello to my co-host. Jason Moss is founder and CEO of the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, my good friend. Good afternoon.
Man, I'm glad to be here. We got a great show lined up.
Well, and the second of like a an extension of a great show this morning, right?
Exactly.
So let's say hello to our guests. We have a second-time guest in our presence here, Laura Matajewski, principal at HLB Gross Collins, where, amongst other things, she leads the manufacturing and distribution practice. So good afternoon, Laura.
Good afternoon, Scott.
So glad to have you back. You hosted a show for us a few months back that was really well received. We talked about a variety of things, including Brexit. And so glad to have you back on the show. And Joshua Labar, Director of Manufacturing for Sonnet Incorporated. How you doing, Joshua?
How you doing there, Scott?
So glad that you are here, and looking forward to learning a lot more about all the great growth and expansion y'all have had here locally at Sonnen. So before we dive into the conversation, interview Laura and Joshua, Jason, I want to bring you back in here, if we can get his attention for about 2.5 minutes, which is tough to do sometimes. But you, GMA, let's talk about top things to know in the ever evolving and growing world of GMA, the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance. So there's three main areas that we want to tackle on this front end, right?
Okay.
Before we talk
Perfect.
With Laura and Joshua. First off is the directory, which is a program, a communication vehicle that continues to expand here at GMA. Tell us about what that is.
Yeah, the for those of you who don't know, the Georgia Manufacturing Directory is a project we put together in early 2016. And what we found is manufacturers have a very strong interest in trying to support other local manufacturers, but they find it really difficult to locate those suppliers. You know, if you want to buy something here made in Georgia, good luck trying to find that on Google, because there's just not any place out there that consolidates that information, that does it geographically. So what we decided to do is, you know, that was the first part of the challenge, is manufacturers want to buy local. The other piece is they want to get their message out. So, you know, doesn't take long to figure that out if you take a few minutes to look at it. If manufacturers want to sell more products and they want to buy local when they can, I started looking around and I was really surprised that there was GeorgiaManufacturingDirectory.com was available, which means that didn't look like there was a lot of traction in that space. So we secured that name and started looking around, and now we publish the directory. Now, the directory, I'll tell you what it is and what it's not. So what it's not is a all-encompassing list of all the manufacturers in the state. That would be a pretty big book. You know, most folks are surprised to find out that we have over 10,000 manufacturing facilities in the state of Georgia.
So a lot of folks are surprised to hear that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. We don't have all those listed, but we do have the ones that are the most important, which are the GMA members listed in there. So we have not only the GMA members that are manufacturers, but also the service and support companies that understand and support manufacturers working together. So so it's a printed directory. It's a bestseller on Amazon. It's a really cool deal that we got it to be a bestseller. I have always had it on my radar to on my bucket list to write a book. I had no idea it was going to come out in this format, but hey, we'll take it any way we can get it.
So. Amazon today, New York Times bestseller list tomorrow. Right?
Yeah, as long as it's a bestseller, that's what I'm claiming. I didn't New York maybe, but again, what it is it's a listing of our current manufacturing and supply members across the state. We've got about 330 companies that are involved with GMA. Those represent about 75,000 employees across the state. So we got a pretty good penetration and representation there. Our goal is to help support and grow manufacturing, you know, and this directory aligns with our mission as an organization to help support and grow manufacturing in the state of Georgia. It allows people to get exposure to places that they couldn't otherwise have. What we do is we print 2,500 copies in January and 2,500 in January and 3,500 in July. And we mail those directories to the top 1,700 manufacturers in the state of Georgia. So every member has up to a 100-word listing in the directory. So you can write whatever you want to write about your company. It'll be listed in the directory, and then we mail that to the purchasing agent or the CEO of the top 1,500 manufacturers plus our sponsors and members.
Helping folks make these connections.
So the goal is, so the goal is to get that exposure that they couldn't get otherwise, because you can't get to that database any other way other than through being a member of GMA, because we don't rent or sell our list to anybody. But we've been building some great relationships over the past 15 years in manufacturing. And this gives people the opportunity to get that exposure that they couldn't get otherwise.
Well, and one of the ways, moving beyond the directory, one of the ways that y'all have been establishing and building relationships is through a plethora of events, right?
Plant
tours, workshops, you name it. Talk more about all the events that GMA's been doing.
Well, we keep pretty busy. I mean, we got a lot of stuff going on around the state. We have found that manufacturers learn so much when they have the opportunity to see what else other people are doing, benchmark. So, again, to help support and grow manufacturers in the state of Georgia, we do that through the plant tours, networking events, and educational sessions. In 2018, last year, our organization—
About added 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years ago, it was a whole other story.
But yeah,
we'll talk about that later. But 2018, we had a little over 3,500 people attend live events that we hosted. And we hosted 120 events around the state. And our goal is not to just have a count of tours and events and attendees. Our goal is to help industry professionals have the opportunity to see world-class manufacturing in action so that they can take some of those ideas and repurpose those in their business and their operations so that they can be more efficient in what they do. So given that opportunity to see things that they couldn't otherwise see, man, it's just magic. When you get operations folks and logistics folks and safety people and HR people talking to other industry leaders in their space so they can talk about the things that work and some of the things that don't. And that also allows them to build a peer group of other industry professionals that they can rely on. Because if you're having challenges with workforce or you're having challenges with safety or you got some questions about how you can be more, you know, the operational excellence programs that are out there, to find out what's working and what's not, it's tough to find that any other way. So these plant tours give people the opportunity to see it in action and talk to the people that's championing the causes inside of the companies and find out, you know, again, successes and failures and share their stories.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the component of the plant tours, we all sit at this table, do a lot of work with the next generation, right? Whether college students or even earlier upstream.
Mm-hmm.
And we recommend to a lot of the, especially folks in operations management, supply chain management programs to get out. If you haven't taken the plant tour, get out, because that can connect what you're learning mm-hmm. with what's in action.
Right.
You know, we've worked together on a variety of student tours. Just a month or so ago, we took a group of students from the supply chain program at UGA into mm-hmm. the Caterpillar plant out in Bogart, Georgia, near the Athens area. And Caterpillar was nice enough to host, I bet we took 50 students in there.
That's huge.
And for most of those students, it's the first time they'd actually been in a facility. And mm-hmm. and that, of course, for the if you go into any one facility for the first time, that's a great one to do it. But, you know, helping folks, whether you're professionals in the industry already, you know, fighting fires, fighting problems, solving problems, mm-hmm. looking for best practices, or you're coming into the industry and you're looking to connect the dots of what you're learning. Plant tours are the way to go, and y'all do no shortage. I mean, dozens of plant tours each year, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. This year we'll do probably 50 or 60 tours around the state. And, I mean, some of the ones that we've got coming up, we're going to be touring out in LaGrange. We're going to be going to Jindal Films. We do networking events. We've got four of those. Laura here, one of our guests today, is our chapter director for our Cobb County networking group, and she does a fantastic job of that. We'll be touring CH3 Solutions in Dalton, Challenger Turf Plant in Dalton. Kia will be going there. We've gone there probably three or four times, and it's amazing to see what they do. They're able to roll out a car every 57 seconds out of that facility, and it is unbelievable.
It's one of the best stories in the regional manufacturing, if mm-hmm. not national. I mean, what they're doing there, the impact they've had on the community, the region, the opportunities they provide for folks, and for that matter, I mean, there's a lot more folks buying Kias these days than when they first opened up shop.
As a matter of fact, GMA members
buying lots of Kias.
GMA members buy a lot of Kias because we actually, for everybody that's a member of GMA, they have access. We have a special program through GMA for just GMA members. So if you're interested in that, we can chat with you a little bit. I've got a brand new Sorento in the parking lot right here, as a matter of fact. And all the way even, you know, kind of up the supply chain, the Olympic Steel, we're going to be touring them in Winder as well. All of this information can be found on our website at GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com.
So one more thing, though, because your crown jewel event's coming up October 9th, the Georgia Manufacturing Summit.
Correct.
Supply Chain Now Radio is going to be broadcasting live there. You're going to have no shortage of keynotes, panels, networking, lots of learning opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
If you had 30 seconds to tell folks why they should come out, what would that be?
Yeah, the Georgia Manufacturing Summit is the manufacturing event of the year. This is where industry professionals come to see the latest and greatest in what's going on, and also have the opportunity to see the trends that they need to be tracking. That they have the opportunity to see what's going on and meet with other industry professionals so that they can know what they need to be aware of and how to be prepared for it. And we're not going to talk the focus of the summit this year. The first year we did it around transportation. We had the CEO of Bluebird Bus and Kia were our keynotes. The next year we did it around construction-related products. We had top leaders from Southwire and Beaulieu Carpet. The following year we did it around food and beverage, and we had top execs from Coca-Cola and Chick-fil-A. Mm. Last year we bumped it up, and we got into aerospace. It was really cool. So we had a VP from Thrush Aircraft, and they make crop dusters down in Albany, Georgia, and then we had
agricultural
aviation. Yeah, it's called crop dusters. They still give me a hard time every time I say that. But and so we had him come in and talk about, you know, they produce a plane a week out of that facility, and 70% of their products exported out of the country. Mm. And then one of our other keynotes was Mark Burns, the president of Gulfstream. Mm. Gulfstream happens to be the largest manufacturer in the state of Georgia, single employer. And got a little over 12,000 employees down there, and they're pushing out some beautiful planes. I mean, $65 million planes, and they got a 2.5-year backlog, and they push one out every 3 days. It's cool stuff, right? Mm. So this year we've changed it up. Instead of being industry focused, we're doing it across the board of what's going on in manufacturing. We're going to talk about manufacturing success in Georgia. We're going to talk about the things that are working. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the challenges that we face, because we already know, you know, there's some issues out there, and we're going to talk about some of those today. But we're going to talk about the things that are working. We're going to talk about what's going on with how Kia has impacted their community by supporting Think.
THINC.
THINC, yeah. And Think Academy, where they're bringing, you know, high school students and getting them engaged. And we're going to talk about what's going on at Southwire and some of the things that they're doing for the 12 for Life program, helping at-risk teens and high schoolers come through and graduate. And so we're going to talk about the successes, the stuff that is working in manufacturing across the board. One of the areas, and we'll put you on the spot. Our goal is to have you guys have you come in manage the group that we'll be doing about trends to track in supply chain. Because I've learned that I don't have to know a lot about any one thing. I know just a little bit about a bunch of stuff. I'm like an inch deep, a mile wide. But what I do know is I do know the professionals that can help bring that knowledge to the table. And that's what we'll do is we'll have educational panels throughout the day. We'll be announcing our keynote very soon, of keynotes very soon.
Exciting times.
Yeah. That'll be rolling out through press releases soon.
October 9th, GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com. Of course, big thanks to GMA for partnering with us on this series here today to continue putting a big spotlight, as big as possible.
Yes.
And growing spotlight.
Almost as big as these.
On everything, all the neat stories and leaders and companies and technologies going on across the world of manufacturing. So glad you're here today and glad we're knocking out our second show with two, speaking of leaders in manufacturing, two great guests here today. All right, so let's bring our guests back into the conversation here again. We are featuring Laura Matajewski, principal at HLB Gross Collins, one of the leading accounting firms in the state. Laura leads the manufacturing distribution practice, a great subject matter expert on all things manufacturing and distribution. And Joshua Labar, director of manufacturing for the ever-expanding Sonnen Incorporated. So good afternoon again, guys and gals. So before we talk about your organizations and your roles, let's let our listeners get a better sense of who you are and your professional journey. So, Laura, I want to start with you. Tell us a little about yourself.
All right. Well, I was always the kid that wasn't really paying attention in class too often. I was the one that was playing with the pencil or the marker and figuring out, how did somebody put this thing together? This is really cool. And so I always wanted to know more. I was very inquisitive, which I guess works out really well being an accountant now. So I'd love to dig into anything and everything.
Always painless.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So from all of that, figuring out that I was also pretty good with those numbers and I loved working with people and just getting to really understand them and what it is they do, what they're passionate about, how to help make them successful. So that all led to me coming today and sharing a little bit more about my expertise in the manufacturing field, working with my clients as a trusted advisor for them. So I'm super excited to be here today. Thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you. And this is your second time on the show. You hosted a great show, as we mentioned earlier, a few months back, and glad to have you back. All right. So Joshua, how you doing?
Doing great, sir. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic. So tell us about yourself.
So I'm loving the Southern life out here. I'm actually originally from California. I moved out over two years ago when Sonnen decided to make its move out here to Georgia. We were originally doing contract manufacturing out in California, which I was the person over that, and the decision was made to come out to Georgia, and it was a good choice.
So you're here with. Doubling down, both boots on the ground and making things happen here in the Metro Atlanta area, right?
That's right.
But that California weather, do you miss it? Especially when it gets a lot hotter around here.
Oh, I was telling Laura earlier. It's a good thing that Mother Nature invented air conditioning, because that saves us all.
Amen. And then 100 degrees is just around the corner next week. But anyway, so keep telling us about who you are.
So I'm kind of like Laura. I was always that one kid who was interested in how things work, how things get here. What was the thing that put things together? How did all this thing go together? I was the one who tore apart my dirt bike and put it back together, and then realized, what's that paper thing between the two pieces of metal? That looks like trash. I'm going to throw that out. So I quickly found out at age 7 what a gasket was. So I always had an idea of like, okay, how do I do this? And then also, how do I do this faster? How do I do this better? And that was growing up. I was always tinkering with my uncles in the garage on cars and trying to do things, better and faster, and trying to show them I knew more than them, which obviously wasn't always the case.
But from both of y'all, a lot of natural curiosity is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely.
And I guess you gotta have both in your respective fields, whether you're accounting and you're trying to get beyond the obvious answers, or and really understand where opportunities to add to the bottom line are, right?
Absolutely.
And of course, from a manufacturing standpoint, there's always better ways of doing things. And a lot of times it takes some natural curiosity to find creative ways of getting better, right?
Yes, sir. And I always tell my folks, it's like, it's just a weird thing. I'm the guy who walks around and asks the dumbest questions. It's like, why is that like that? Where is that? Why is that right there?
Love
Can
that.
We do this better?
I love that. So, so let's talk more, Joshua, as we kind of shift over from kind of your journey to get here to what you're doing. So, tell us more about Sonnen. I might have called it Sonnen, but it's Sonnen. That's my Walton County coming in here. So it's Sonnen Incorporated, right?
And it's actually pronounced Sonnen.
Sonnen.
In German, because we are a German, we're the U.S. subsidiary of a German company.
And third time's a charm. Sonnen. Sonnen Incorporated.
And so, and then we say Sonnen here. So we Americanize it. So Sonnen was an idea started in Germany over 11 years ago. By our founders, Christoph and Torsten, who came up with this idea of, you know what, Germany, the state, has given us all this money to put solar on our roofs. Why don't we just use that power instead of giving it back? Mm. Why don't we control that? Why don't we be independent from all that? And so, in 2010, they started the company. 2011, they went to market. And they said, this is what our idea is. And they were laughed at. And 2019 comes around and Sonnen is the global leader in residential battery storage.
Wow.
Nice.
And so it's one of those things where these two thought leaders put this idea in and did not get discouraged. They had the courage to keep going through and pushing. And it's one of those things where in the States now, that's what we're trying to do in the States, is trying to create that market of letting people understand that they can be in control of their energy usage and seeing how things are done. And the funny thing that we find out is that a lot of people who know what kind of power they use, and I know exactly how much power they use, once they install a Sonnen system and they start using it and they start seeing where all the power is going and how much power is going, wow, I didn't know that. So it's really changing the way people who even are conscientious of what they're doing with their power become even more conscientious.
So it's part of a, once they're aware of what they can do, they already want to do more, right, from a sustainability, from an environmental standpoint, what have you. But it sounds like what I'm hearing you say is once you educate the market on how you can tap into all the solar energy that's available and use it as you need it almost, right?
Correct.
They're ready to invest and buy a lot of sun and batteries.
Exactly. And so, and it also goes beyond just renewables as itself. The unit could also be coupled to the grid itself. So it does not have to come from solar power. People can charge their batteries during the low peak time and be completely disconnected to the grid from high peak times.
Love that. Love the functionality.
And so what Sonnen is doing now is we're also going beyond the individual user. We're trying to aggregate this now, and when I say try, is where we actually are. We have a couple of projects that we're working on. One of them is in Arizona, Mandalay Homes, and it's going to be 2,900 homes over the course of 8 years. And all those houses are going to have a Sonnen in it, and the houses are going to be designed for the Sonnen. And so, and along with a lot of other energy efficient products in the home, that's going to reduce the amount of power needed. And so what we talk about here, we talk about what we call in the industry a VPP, virtual power plant. So we aggregate all those battery systems together, and we create a community. That community creates a path for to relieve the grid from being overtaxed. So now these grid operators, they can spend money in improving their current infrastructure instead of expanding the infrastructure to keep up with the demand. Because as we keep going throughout society, we're going to keep using power and power. We just have to find a way to get the power in a cleaner way. And that's what Sonnen is bringing.
Well, all right, so I'm going to say something, and I hope it doesn't come across the right way, because it's not just batteries. You're transforming how we use energy.
Right.
Right?
The battery technology is one thing, and that's something that Sonnen is a key part of, but we don't invent the actual battery tech, the actual chemistry of it. We actually talk about the Sonnen system as a whole. We talk about the Sonnen being able to do these things, to be able to do responses to the grid, to be able to do time of use, to be able to meter itself. We have a product now on the line called EcoLynx. Mm-hmm. And EcoLynx is not only designed to work in a virtual power plant, but it's also designed to work in home automation. So the home automation portion of this is a component where you can take your devices, such as your shades, your air conditioning, mm-hmm. your lighting, your AV, all the audio visual components you have in your home, and aggregate that all together. And the Sonnen becomes the energy management system for the home. Mm. And at the time where you can get a response saying, hey, we need to shed 500 watts, the Sonnen will say, okay, I'll go shed 500 watts for you. And so to help ease
right.
the overall. So you talk about all these homes, hundreds of homes together, easing off and to be able to stabilize the grid on its own.
Love it. And there's so much to dial back in the short amount of time we have. But if you could touch on one more thing before we bring Laura back into the conversation, that's y'all's expansion here in the metro Atlanta area. Can you talk a little more about that?
So the reason why we came to Georgia is because when Sonnen had the idea to come to the United States, our founders wanted to come to the U.S. and they said this is the market for this to go big and to go, you know, to expand upon. The company bought an inverter manufacturer in Norcross, so that's what made it where we decided, okay, do we bring 13 engineers over to California or do we bring Josh to Georgia?
Easy decision to make.
So Josh won on that one when coming to Georgia. So we've established ourselves in Tucker, in DeKalb County, and we have. We have increased year over year as far as revenue, headcount, everything, and the future is looking great for Sonnen as far as you know, being able to be a thought leader in energy automation and for the future of energy usage.
Love it! What a great story. All right, so and also VPP, virtual power plant. Have you ever thought about getting Naughty by Nature to do y'all's theme song around that, maybe? Employee outing?
We have to run that by marketing, okay. So they make all those tough decisions.
Okay.
I just put it together.
All right. We were talking 80s flashback in the warm-up, so I thought I'd throw one more out there.
This episode of Supply Chain Now Radio was brought to you by APIX Atlanta, an association for supply chain management organization. APIX Atlanta provides supply chain thought leadership, networking, and certification opportunities for supply chain professionals. Consider getting involved with APIX Atlanta as a volunteer or general guest. Student memberships are free and the networking opportunities are numerous. Supply chain certification workshops can be delivered at your offices and are also offered through a partnership with Georgia Tech's Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. In 2019, CSCP and CLTD workshops are offered in a 2.5-day boot camp format in June and October. Whether you're interested in better understanding inventory management and planning fundamentals, end-to-end supply chain management concepts, or logistics, transportation, and distribution, APIX Atlanta has something for you. For more information on the workshops, the certifications, or area networking opportunities, check out apixatlanta.org or send a note to info@apixatlanta.org.
All right, so Laura, love having you back on the show. HLB Gross Collins does a ton of work in the manufacturing industry, great and active participant in the GMA. So for those listeners, though, that might not know, tell us more about your firm.
All right. Well, thank you so much again for having me back, Scott. It's an absolute pleasure to be here today. So HLB Gross Collins, we are actually very honored to be celebrating our 50th anniversary this year. So super excited about that. You'll start seeing some press releases actually from us as well on that front. So I won't share any more than that because I think marketing will zip my lips shut. So I'm not going to be the one that steals their thunder. But so for over 50 or up to 50 years now, we've had the opportunity to be able to really establish deep connections with businesses here in the Southeast, all across the country, and the globe. That's where the HLB comes in. We are a part of HLB International, the 13th largest international conglomeration of accounting firms in the globe. Wow. So we're super excited about that. And through all of that, our goal is really just being the trusted advisor for our clients. So well beyond what you could think of as a traditional public accounting firm from tax returns and audits and such. But we really sit there and focus on adding value for our clients, whether they want to do something 1 year from now, tomorrow, or 10 years down the road. It's our job to listen and bring our level of service and outside experts in to help facilitate whatever changes that they need to have. So we hope that we're working with them another 50 years down the road.
So congratulations on the 50th anniversary. One of the things that I have gleaned from our earlier conversations and kind of what you're alluding to is it's not just accounting. It's having a library of resources to address the challenges that the modern day manufacturer may have well beyond the books, you know, kind of being that strategic advisor, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we're listening into what it is that our clients' pain points are or what they're talking about, that I heard this out in the marketplace, what does this really mean? That's our job there. We're able to bring to the table tax incentives, talking with them about opportunity zones, bringing the next level in when they want to grow the business and they're trying to figure out where are some capital opportunities. So a lot of strategic advisory from that standpoint. So that's what gets me up in the morning, and we're all super excited to be able to do that.
So your role specifically, I know you wear several hats there, but you're leading the manufacturing distribution practice for the firm, right?
Yes, that is correct.
And what is that? So give us, every day is probably different, but kind of in a nutshell, what does that mean?
Okay, so what that means is I'm fully responsible for all of the clients in our firm that fall into that category. And it's not just your traditional manufacturers taking a raw material and bringing it to a finished product. It's wholesale distribution, it's supply chain logistics, all of the players that help make our clients successful. We work with and we ensure that we provide our full services of dedication to that. So I'm responsible for making sure that they're happy, ultimately, because when a client's happy, then I'm happy. But
happy client, happy life, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But ultimately, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to them and I'm being able to take from my level of expertise and really kind of pinpoint down what are some of the fine things that we need to be making sure that we're focusing on being proactive versus reactive. That's always kind of my motto there. So through all of that, I think that's what's continued to make us so successful. And manufacturing is one of the top segments of our firm. We have other practice areas, but I'm truly honored to be a part and leading that practice.
Well, and plus she gets to hang out with me.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. Of course. That's a total bonus there, Jason.
Well, you've had quite a passion. I mean, you know, we've known each other for several years now, and you're a regular presence on a lot of the plant tours. You know, that natural curiosity, you can see it. So I think you dig manufacturing and operations and distribution. All right, so let's so with Joshua and with Laura, we want to kind of transition now and talk trends and challenges, right? While it's a great time to be in the manufacturing industry, it certainly doesn't come without its set of challenges. And kind of depending on what sector you're in or what role you play, they can be, you know, there's a lot of parallels and there's some very unique challenges that impact other a wide variety of organizations. So let's jump into the leading trends and challenges that y'all are keeping on your radar more than others. So, Laura, what have you been tracking here lately?
Well, I think we've probably all heard it in some form or fashion, but maybe half of us or more so don't fully understand it, and that's the IoT or the Internet of Things. So I get the questions often when I'm working with my clients on what is it, what does this really mean and how can I implement it, because they have the focus, they want to do the advanced manufacturing, they want to figure out the analytics that are actually working with the machinery and working with the people and making that process as seamless as possible, and also making sure that what they're establishing now is going to be there in the long run, that they can seamlessly enhance, grow, change to satisfy their customers and also ensure that they're taking care of their business and that it's going to be here, you know, many years from now, and it's going to continue to provide the quality and excellence of service that they have been built on.
And, you know, more and more, we've all seen the numbers. The growing number of connected smart devices continues to just rapidly proliferate from, of course, the obvious, the phones and the cars, to the not so common sense blenders. Boots, so LL, I think we talked about this last time. LL Bean, a year or two ago, started inserting sensors into some of its clothing, which would communicate how customers are using those items and how often they're washing the items. It's amazing, really.
Back to the blenders thing.
Yeah.
That's really intriguing. Apparently, using artificial intelligence, my blender will turn on when I need a margarita.
5 o'clock.
it can just predict what time I'm gonna be home and when the margarita needs to be ready.
That's just an algorithm.
I got you. You know, it's internet of some things.
Jason's
right?
Riding the wave of technology. That's great. But there's going to be so many more opportunities. But, one thing that we all know that this opens a door for is, the folks that want to do damage from a cybersecurity and a hacking standpoint. And we were talking with the North Cobb Chamber of Commerce a few weeks ago, and we were showing, I stole a great video that Tanya Allen with the Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce had shared with me that Cisco put out. And long story short, it basically was these hackers that wanted to penetrate a manufacturing operation, did some social media homework. They realized that a lot of their employees were bowling in a particular league. And so they went and checked out that bowling alley, which had a very low-level website. So they were able to penetrate and basically send emails with bad technology to these employees' laptops who were checking in to put scores in or what have you. And then, of course, once the employees go back to the site to log into the network, the entity's there, all right, on the servers and whatnot. But it gets even better. That's pretty genius and devious enough for me. But so the IT, and this is based on a true story too, the IT company tracked and identified the threat right away. But what the hacker did is it stored the malware in the IoT connected thermostat, and that is the one of the few places that the IT team did not check. So it sat there and created all kinds of chaos, based on a true story. And when I saw this video, it was about a day after I had lunch with a manufacturer that lost a week to a ransomware attack. And so if you don't think that the threat is real, and if that doesn't make you want to run out and buy a VPN, I mean, there are folks that are making a lot of money doing bad things.
Then there's a bunch of margaritas made after that.
Blender's going crazy. But I'm sure you're seeing that side. As much as there's an opportunity, you're seeing kind of the risk-reward,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we really are. Clients have been beefing up insurance on the cybersecurity side. They've been bringing us in, and we've been partnering with other resources to do extensive technology audits and determining, all of the little things like that thing. I don't know if it was a Nest that perhaps that malware got stuck in. But yeah, you don't talk to someone these days without them having at least 3 or 4 different apps on their phone that they're able to remotely do business. And that's great for on demand, just in time. But on the other side, you've got the flip side of that for how well do you have that barrier in place? So while it's connecting to what it is you're needing to do to service your customer, are you doing something that's going to potentially be harmful to stop your business? So, yeah, I've had clients that have been shut down for a couple days. I've had clients that are shut down for over a week. I've had clients that have had hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash receipts diverted because someone got in, mirrored the invoice, changed the address on it, and they were able to start collecting the cash, and they're wondering why they're not getting paid on their outstanding receivables from good customers that they've known for 30, 40 years.
So you've got to have resources on call to help you navigate through these issues. But IoT in general is something that they are tracking, or you're helping your company, companies and clients take advantage of, right? The right way.
Yes, absolutely. And plus, it's a nice tax incentive for deductions there under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that came in effect last year, and the increases of what you can deduct there. So it's kind of a win-win situation. You protect your business and you save on the bottom line.
And so, and one last thing before we bring Josh back in is that opportunity is, of course, is here in Georgia, but there's other states where if you're not taking advantage of that, that bottom line opportunity, that folks can reach out to you and possibly get some insider's information on, right?
Absolutely. We're plugged into every state, and we've had extensive conversations from the technology standpoint. I actually get a lot of questions, actually, not to divert the conversation too much, but on the sales taxes side as well, too, because of the whole Wayfair case and everything that's come down from that. So there's a lot of mindfulness within each state, and you can have a business that's got 5 or 10 people running it that could be running off of a $1 billion revenue stream, and they're selling to every state.
Wow. Okay. Lots of issues to have an expert look at. All right. So Joshua, let's go back to the manufacturing front line, and you're in the, well, we're all in the trenches together fighting a good fight, but you know, you're leading a manufacturing operation. So what challenges or trends are you tracking more than others right now?
So, you know, the issues that I'm tracking right now kind of are similar to what Laura was bringing up, but on the other side of things is that a lot of talent acquisition in these days for assembly workers, warehouse associates, shipping, receiving, all those types of jobs. It's getting harder to fill those types of jobs lately, and a lot of that we're talking to people and talking to a lot of trying to go to schools and everything like that to find out what's going on with this. A lot of them are not going from school, from high school into a job like the traditional ways it was about 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
People are going to college, and they have dreams of going to work at Google, and they're going to roll in whenever they want and then leave whenever they want, and they're going to play some ping pong. And then they're going to use that blender. They're going to use that blender.
No, we love our Google.
Where's
we love
the
our Google.
Foosball table? Yeah. I need to know that.
Yeah. So they think they're going to go work at these tech companies and do all those types of things. So it's a lot. It's hard to get these people and get new people into the workforce that are going to go in there and do these assembly jobs, these warehouse positions and those types of things. But also too, it's also goes back to the soft skills too. Soft skills such as just simple things of just showing up on time. That's the hardest things to do is just, it's like how you get up every morning and then you got to go to work. You do it five days a week. So
but you want me to come skills. To work every day?
Really? Yes, sir. And then at Sonin, we have a high quality product. One of the major assemblies that we do has over 125 parts on it that requires landing wires and making sure connections are tight, torques, those types of things. And I can't have someone sitting there putting this together and then, I got to check my social media. I got an email. I got a text message. So we're faced all day long with distractions. And so it's being able to as a manager of these operations to how do we combat this?
Right.
It's in our face now. It's in the DNA now of everybody who has my phone goes off all the time. So I know that feeling is better than everybody, but it's one of those things that's you get the people, but how do you combat the technology front at that
and
point?
Engage them, right?
Exactly.
Engage them, because this element is not going anywhere, right?
Absolutely.
We are all married to our smart devices and all the stuff you can find on those, but still the challenge remains: how do we engage these folks?
Exactly.
There's different strokes for different folks. Some folks are love the atmosphere you portrayed on the technology side. Other folks are meant to do services or what have you. But for the folks that want to have a manufacturing or a supply chain practitioner career, how can we engage them while making some adaptation for life as we know it 2019, right?
Right.
Well, Scott, one of the things, when we toured, we just toured your facility last week, I guess it
yes,
was.
Yes, sir, it was.
One of the things I gave you feedback on was the environment, the culture. I mean, the people that were in there, man, they were fully engaged. They were locked into what they were doing. They were happy. It
yes.
wasn't like a frantic pace. It was a nice, comfortable pace. But people were, nobody was standing around either. I mean, they were getting the job done. And we get to tour a variety of different facilities. And that's the thing that really stood out for me was this is a cool place to work. The you know, the level of comfort and community that was in there is like a family. And one of the things that you had mentioned is some of the recognition that you do on promotions and stuff. Because, you know, I believe that what we got to do is we got to figure out ways. And one of the areas that we're working together, Scott and I are working together on is Supply Chain 101. Hopefully we'll circle back around on that in a minute. But you have really shown some great resources and done some things that I think that make a difference.
Right. We've done a lot on the front. Our HR, Kayla, she's the one who's going out there and fighting for people who want to be a Sonnen employee, that want to be a part of something great. And we do a very rigorous screening process for people who want to come in. Mm. So it's not about, you know, hey, I have three openings, I need three people.
Right.
No, I need three right people to do an outstanding job. And the next step is, what are those three people going to be doing in the next year, 2 years? So
upward mobility, absolutely. Opportunity, right?
So we're thinking about that at the very beginning. So when we're hiring people, it's like, okay, what is this going to turn into? And some people they want to come in and they want to work the warehouse,
right.
And they have no other aspirations to come to a good place.
Nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely, I love it. And then there's some people who say, well, I want to be a supervisor.
Right.
I want to go over to engineering. I want to go into marketing and I want to do all these things. Okay. Let's talk about that. Let's work on a career path. And that's what we do at Sonnen.
It's not one size fits all. It seems like you're taking a very person by person approach.
Right. Right. And I mentioned to Jason, I had an employee who started out with me in the production floor, got, and was promoted to the service department. And then what we do when we promote somebody, we make an announcement. We announce it to the whole company, and it's great because it's a surprise to the employee, too, that they're getting promoted. So they get called up, and their whole bio is read about what they've done, where they've been, what they've been doing, and what they will be doing with Sonnen, and then a little blurb about what they do in their personal life. Mm. But we read that for that person who got promoted to the service department, and the chief technology officer came over and going, you had her over there in your department? I said, yes. 2 weeks later, she was plucked out of service and moved over to engineering. So it's one of those things where we want to recognize talent,
right.
And we want to utilize talent. And so for me, it's like I as a manager feel great when we can take someone from the very beginning and see their career progression go through the company.
So it sounds like Sonnen's done a great job figuring out how to love on and retain current employees and figure out how to team members and figure out, you know, what's in it for them, what are their personal individual motivations and figure out the plan there. But like many manufacturers, getting new team members, you're feeling some challenges just like every other manufacturer out there, right?
And so it takes us a little bit of time. You know, we could, you know, go out and say, you know, hey, we just need some people with experience, as long as you have it on your resume, we're good to go. Those types of things. No, we want to make sure that everybody is a fit. And also goes down to our hiring practice too, is that I'm the hiring manager for most of these positions that are out there, but I'm not the decider. We do this by committee. We'll have about, you know, I'll have a couple of supervisors, a quality person, myself, and the HR. We'll all interview for a entry level technician position, and we'll go through and we'll go and interview them for a half an hour each. Mm. And then we'll sit around a round table and say, hey, what did you think of this person? Mm. What do you think? Do you think they're going to be a fit here? Could they do the job? That's half of it.
Right.
And the other half is, could they do the job for Sonnen?
Right. Yep. All right. So let's shift gears a little bit. We could have a talent conversation with everyone in the room for days on end, because it's an ever evolving. It's a war for talent era. If you think that's cliche, then you're not hiring. Right.
That's correct.
So let's talk about Joshua. We were talking in the warm up kind of about the global versus local supply chain.
It's the ever struggle. Sonnen purchases batteries. We do not make batteries. We make battery storage systems. That's the integration of the battery with our software and other components that go into the product. So when we purchase batteries, they come from China. Lithium comes from China. Mm. So we're very selective about our source, about where we go for lithium. We use a very safe form of lithium called lithium iron phosphate, And so, and it's the safest and longest lasting in the industry at this point.
I flunked chemistry, so I'm gonna take your word for it, Joshua.
there's plenty of videos online if you go search for Sonnen battery. That's on right. The YouTube Sonnen has produced. That's a global solution for us. Okay, so that takes a lot of planning, a lot of prep time to do that. So, you know, and a lot of things that we try to do is like, you know, our slow moving stuff, you know, we have to watch it mindfully because there's 6 or 9 month lead time. But then there's the stuff that we can control. Why buy out of state when I can buy local? Yeah. Why pay freight charges when I can have the owner of the company drop it off 2 or 3 times a week, you know, and have that relationship? I'm huge on relationships in supply chain. Supply chain relationships are huge. I like to go to a supplier and I like to go and you know, walk the plant. I like to understand what they're doing. I like to understand what they're doing. I like to see my product being produced. And you know, and it's not
a whole lot easier to do when it's local.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and about 90 to 95% of the product that goes into a Sonnen is produced in the state of Georgia. So wow. We are very happy to be contributing to the manufacturing here in Georgia, and it's very important for us. I couldn't tell you how many times where, you know, we all live in the world of just in time. We all live in the world of being conscious of having low inventory levels and having high inventory turn levels. So we need to, you know, so we need to be mindful of that. So sometimes a supplier will miss a delivery. I know it's a shock to everybody.
No.
Never happened.
I kid you not. I think it happened to me like once, but I think it was a dream, a nightmare, and I woke up.
So, Joshua, I appreciate how you're tongue-in-cheek there. But if you know they're going to miss it, or if you know they're going to be late, right, as we were talking about this morning, with the visibility that certain providers can give us.
Yes.
We've got a lot more options, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, one of the things that we've done is that we've offered resources to go and, you know, to like, you know, we had a supplier a couple of weeks ago, and it's like, okay, so we dispatched our purchasing guy who's in charge of the supplier with the quality engineer and an engineer, and saying, okay, well, what can we do to fix this problem? We got to put our heads together. We got to solve this problem. What can we do to fix it? And so, you know, and it's one of those things where I think the face-to-face matters, the relationship matters, the building of that partnership. And it's not, I'm not the customer, he's not the supplier, we're a partnership. And yep. And that's how, you know, that's how you overcome a lot of things in supply chain that that sometimes you can't really, if you know, you can't really do when you're doing outsourcing outside the US, when your product is on a boat and it's 3 weeks out, and it's like, well, how do I get that product off the boat and flown? Well, you don't. It doesn't happen.
Right.
But how do you get that product from south end of Georgia up to Tucker? Mm. Well, you can throw it into the back of an Uber and have that driven up there, and roadie. Oh yes.
Right.
And you could get it in an hour. So yeah. Those are the types of things that make local partnerships great. And you know, and it does do good for the environment, because you're cutting down on freight costs, you're cutting down on all this transportation expense that you would have to incur if you went outside. And I think that's what, you know, it's leading back to Jason with the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, is that it creates a great opportunity for people to find out who is there and what can they do to you, and what kind of synergy that can make for both parties.
I'm with you. And I think, you know, despite this digital age that we're all in, I think the value of personal relationships with your suppliers and your partners and resources, I would argue that they're more important than ever before.
It's, you know, nothing beats a good handshake.
Yeah. Right.
Nothing beats a good handshake and looking at someone and getting, you know, and getting that guarantee and the word and everything, saying, you know, Miss Supplier, I stand with you. We're going to make this together.
Mm. Right, and that's one of the reasons that we love to do so many plant tours, is because I believe that you really don't know what somebody else does or what their capabilities are till you go stand in their chip pile. Go see what it is that they make and see what they can do and what tools and resources they have, but also understand the things that they don't have so you don't have to expect too much out of a supplier.
Well, yeah.
And best fit your needs, you know, and identify the needs that they can provide, but also figure out if you can be a partner with them and refer them to the right people in your network as well.
Yeah, and I've had that in my previous life where I went to a supplier and he wanted to raise the price on me. He said, hey, you know, steel costs are coming up. You know, hey, I need to raise the price. And I said, okay, well, how much are you spending in scrap charges a month? Mm-hmm. He didn't know. He didn't know how to measure it.
Right.
So I taught him how to measure it. I taught him how to do it. And then gave him ways to reduce that scrap and started teaching him ways to do all those types of things. So I said, okay, now you don't have to raise my costs. And your profits just went up. Your gross margins are going up now because you're understanding what is going on in your facility. Mm. So having that, you know, having that 3,000 miles away, I would not have had that visibility. It would have been an argument through email.
Right.
Which we all love.
And sharing best practices like that, it benefits his business from now on. Forever. Not just with you, but with all of his customers.
Exactly.
What I got from that, from what you said, Joshua, was it's all about community. You know, and I think that's a big player in GMA and each of the manufacturers and supply chain, whether you're in that business, you're a service provider supporting that, it is so important. And I just love the fact that you're here in the great state of Georgia. But my next question, though, is Jason, is he on, is Sonnen on buyfromgeorgia.com?
We will definitely see what we can do about getting that added soon. Very soon.
Well, they've got,
we have a meeting after this about
four. Right. Okay.
I see. I won't jump the gun then.
That's right. I love to hear how y'all source so much from the state of Georgia, 90 to 95% of what goes in your products. All right. So we'd love to keep talking. We want to have you back, Joshua. Y'all have got such a neat story.
Thank you, sir.
And Laura, of course, Laura being the repeat guest that she is. But as we wrap up the second episode here on Today in Manufacturing, which we feature prominently at Supply Chain Now Radio in partnership with the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, let's let folks figure out how they can connect with y'all. So, of course, the easiest is your website. But first, are y'all doing any speaking? Are you going to any events? Are y'all having any trade shows coming up? And Laura, let's start with you.
Well, I'm always doing educational sessions. It's a great opportunity for me to just kind of share everything from how to implement what Joshua was talking about, some of the analytics from our perspective, and some best practices on governance and things for your business. Every Friday, first Friday of the month, you are welcome at my office. I lead the COB chapter, as Jason said earlier in the show, and we have just a banging group of service providers and manufacturers galore that are getting together and sharing some best practices and some really good ideas and initiatives. So if you can get down to my office, 3330 Cumberland Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia, 30339, we would love to have you up on the 10th floor, and we've got some beautiful views. Some fun technology that we use, and we'd just be happy to have you to add to the value that we bring to the table every month and every day.
You know, one of our sponsors, Talent Stream, their team member Brianna Stopp has made a couple trips to that same event and came back raving. You know, it's about going back to what we talked about, making connections, right? Whether you're making connections locally, as local as you just described, or within an industry or within, you know, the markets that you serve, but appreciate what you do to help make those connections within the GMA, that portion of the GMA community.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, and your URL.
Our URL is HTTPS gross, HLB gross, GROSS, Collins, COLLINS.com.
Fantastic. And we'll feature that, of course, on the show page notes so that folks can make that just one click, make it easier. Okay, so Joshua, what's going on with your schedule here in the next few weeks?
So as I told Jason, you know, a lot is that you know, we're all about educating the market, all about we're creating this market, doing this battery technology with virtual power plants, with home automation. So a lot of the times where people are saying, I don't understand what that is. Well, you know, check us out. I got a lot of videos online. We got a lot of press releases out on our webpage, sonnenusa.com. And if you're in the great state of Georgia and you want to come stop by, you can definitely come by our facility. Give us a call first, 310-853-2404. And we're at 2048 Weems Road in the great city of Tucker.
Pride of Tucker.
Yes. Right. And and also too is that SonanUSA.com is where you can go and if you're looking for new opportunities that are available in the Sonan family.
Fantastic. Wow, what a show. What a show. I wish we had a third one coming up today.
Man,
here,
this
Jason.
Is awesome.
And of course, to learn more about anything going on within the GMA community, GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com. And in particular, out of all the things going on, October 9th, the Georgia Manufacturing Summit. Right, Jason?
Yes, that's the best place to go, GeorgiaManufacturingSummit.com. I'll take you right there.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up on some upcoming events. Big thanks to Laura and Joshua for joining us on a great show today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. Great to navigate through two episodes with you, Jason Moss, CEO and founder of the GMA. But looking ahead in June, so Supply Chain Now Radio is a proud media partner of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit, which is coming to Atlanta, the Supply Chain City, June 10th through the 12th. A great lineup of speakers, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, UPS, Land O'Lakes, you name it. We're broadcasting live thanks to our great friends over at Becker Logistics. You can check them out at beckerlogistics.com. It almost feels like a URL soup we're making here today,
exactly.
Huh? But if you're interested in attending, registration is still open. There's about 1,000 folks. You can check that out at EFT.com or shoot us a note at Scott with two T's, scott@supplychainnowradio.com, and we will get you more information. Big thanks to our sponsor today, IntelliTrans. Had a great first show featuring a member of their team, Ken Sherman. Big thanks to Caleb and Jeremy over there on their organization, their growing organization. Not so much the best kept secret in supply chain because more and more folks know about them. But, you know, all the rage these days is about supply chain visibility, and they can be a great partner there. So check them out at IntelliTrans with a T-R-A-N-S on the back end of that, IntelliTrans.com. Thanks to our guests today. Again, Laura Matajewski, principal at HLB Gross Collins, and Joshua Labar, director of manufacturing for Sonan Incorporated, Sonan USA, I guess, as it were. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you so much, Scott. Absolute pleasure.
You bet. And Jason, is your blender going off? Because
it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
That's right. So on behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful weekend. We hope to see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio. Be sure to find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, all the other leading sites where podcasts can be found. Subscribe so you don't miss anything. Thanks again, everybody, and we will see you soon.
If you're interested in advancing your career, team building exercises, or simply satisfying your intellectual curiosity, check out an APIC certification workshop at apicsatlanta.org.